Alrighty, very good afternoon, everybody. Welcome along to my session. Nice to see some of you. Some of you maybe know me as, well, I am Andy Malone, obviously, but some of you maybe know me from the security track. I mostly do those sessions. But this is an interest of mine that I've had now for a couple of years, and I do a lot of consulting, a lot of deployment, and also a considerable amount of training as well. So first of all, a very good afternoon. I really appreciate you coming along to my session. This is the cloud, and we're talking really about making the move to the hybrid world. Now, I've been teaching a lot of kind of Office 365, so kind of my end is coming from there, if you will. Who am I? Well, as I say, my name is Andy Malone. I'm an MVP in enterprise security. I'm also a Microsoft certified trainer of 18 years. God, you don't get that for murder nowadays. I live in Scotland, so are there any non-English speakers in the room? Any non-English? Yep, okay, we got a few there. Okay, so like you, English is my second language. So that's a little bit about me. I live in Stirling in Scotland, which is home of William Wallace, if any of you know about that. And yes, I do have an alarm clock that every morning I wake up and it goes, "Freedom!" Okay, so... So, the agenda, what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about making the move to the hybrid world. So what's involved? What is hybrid anyway? I mean, I'm sure you've heard these words kind of thrown out over the last few days. So what is hybrid? We're going to talk about the changing world of identity and also just kind of what you guys actually need to move to the hybrid world. So that's really what we're talking about. Now, I've been in IT... I kind of came into it in the early 90s, so like probably many of you here. In fact, looking at some of you have been in it a long longer than me, but there we go. Anyway, so you'll be very, very familiar with this kind of model. This is the classic client-server model, okay? So the classic client-server model dictates that you have a central server and you have a number of clients typically connected to that. Now, the thing about this particular model is this was fine 10 or 20 years ago. But today, life is very, very different. Life is different because we now have a whole multitude of devices, whether you're looking at bring your own device or whether you're looking at working with a laptop or a PC, or maybe you're even looking at connecting over the internet through a kind of standard web browser. I was actually involved as one of the very early trainers or one of the very early instructors for Office 365. And we kind of went on a train the trainer event and then we were let loose, if you will, around the world. So this is what we're kind of going to talk about here. We're going to talk really about the infrastructure. Now, as I said, the infrastructure is considerably more complex these days. Have you ever walked into a server room like that? Oh, my God. Okay. So the life that we live is considerably more complex than what we've seen in the past. So what does this mean for you, the IT pro? Well, I mean, I'm not a Microsoft employee, so I can actually tell you the truth. Because one of the things that they say about MVPs is MVPs, real-world answers. And for me, I see Microsoft kind of going in two ways. And I'm sure you guys do too. So very much the idea of, you kind of feel that we're going back a little bit, don't you? It's almost like going back to the old days. Remember back to the old kind of mainframe type days. Remember those? So we're kind of looking at where, for the small business, so if you were a small or a medium-sized business, the chances are that you may not have an infrastructure at the moment, or you may not want it. But where if you are a very large organization, you've probably invested quite heavily in your infrastructure and you don't want to lose that. So again, also for compliance reasons as well, if you want to move to the cloud, that's great. But for maybe compliance reasons, you want to keep certain elements on-prem. And that's what we're talking about here. So in the hybrid world, in this hybrid world, size really does matter because you need to make the decision. So whether you're a one-man band, now the one-man band, of course, he doesn't care. He's a Joe Soap, he's a Bob the Builder. He can just go into Office 365. He's got no infrastructure requirements. Small business, again, we're talking about migration. But when we start talking to the fairly medium-sized, large-scale businesses, these are the guys that have invested heavily. These are the guys that have got Windows Server 2008 R2 or are thinking about putting in Windows Server 2012. So you want to kind of don't lose your investment, if you will. So I'm sure you've all heard about Office 365. The Office 365 bandwagon has arrived. So for small, medium-sized businesses, this is perfect. You can jump on board right away without any kind of setup. So if you're a consultant, ka-ching, ka-ching, you can make a lot of money out of this. However, the changing world of software dictates this. It's not a case of if we want to move to the cloud anymore. It's a case of that many software vendors are changing their licensing models. So Microsoft are doing it with Microsoft Office, Adobe are doing it, and many others. So the idea is you don't actually own the software anymore. You're essentially subscribing to that software. So, and obviously that is going to dictate on how you're going to run your business a little bit as well. So the benefits of that, of course, is the user always gets the most up-to-date version. However, in terms of deployment, and you know, your typical standard traditional type of deployment, we're really talking about, for example, Microsoft Office. In the last version of Office 365, it was the standard version, the Pro Plus version. And that was like an 800 meg download. And that's quite costly and expensive to deploy that to a large number of users. Whereas the version today we have is kind of an App V version, kind of that thin kind of streaming type version, which is pretty cool actually. The benefits of that, of course, is that you can always have the latest version. Okay, so benefits of migrating to Office 365 seem pretty good. So what are the reasons that we would want to go hybrid? Well, as I've mentioned, you're a large company. You've already made that investment. You've already got a network infrastructure. You've maybe got an Exchange server or a Link server environment. Another reason, in the small business world, it's fine if I just log on with my Windows account or with my Office account. But in the corporate world, you want to manage everything. You want to control everything. So single sign-on will definitely be an issue for you. So when I teach a class called the Office 365 Bootcamp, and this is a five-day class, and everybody that comes to the bootcamp wants to know about two things. Well, three things. They want to know about ADFS, they want to know about DirSync, and they want to know about hybrid. These are the three things, okay? And we're going to talk about these today. So this is the key benefit, single sign-on, and also in the kind of realm of Microsoft Exchange, I do work with a number of large government bodies. They want to keep materials on-prem. So for compliance reasons, they want to keep those mailboxes on-prem while others can move to the cloud. So why should you consider hybrid? Well, as I've mentioned, some of these already. They want to maintain that control. Single sign-on is definitely the big kind of reason here. So how do we actually accomplish hybrid? Well, it doesn't really matter whether your Active Directory is your Active Directory. So we're really talking about hooking, if you will, into the cloud. So we need to have something called a Federation Trust. Now, if you learn nothing else here at TechEd this week, one of the big skills that you need to learn about is Active Directory Federation Services. Now, one of my colleagues, John Craddock, does a fantastic session on ADFS. I don't know if he's doing it this week, but he did a set of videos, and they're on TechEd Online. Definitely have a look at those if you get a chance. Okay, so you get this federated trust model, and essentially there are a number of different technologies. I mean, today I'm just talking about Active Directory Federation Services, but there are others. So when we talk about federation, we're not just talking about business to business. We're potentially talking about a business into the cloud. And, I mean, today, yes, we're talking about Microsoft, but to be quite frank, it could be anybody. It could be Google, it could be Amazon, it could be Salesforce, any of them. Okay? The principles are pretty much the same thing. You want to maintain control. So if I go and open an Office 365 account today, Microsoft has control of that, okay? So they control my password policies. They dictate on how many characters I can have for a password and so on. In the corporate world, you want to maintain control of that. Other things as well, we mentioned that compliance. So with Exchange, in the terms of Microsoft Exchange 2013, 2010, for example, I'm sure you've, for those of you who work, just show of hands, who uses Exchange? Anybody use Exchange? Okay, so huge amount, great. So, of course, when you go into, let's say, Exchange 2010, the Exchange Management Console, you'll see on-premises. So with hybrid mode, you get that in cloud tree as well. So you, the idea is that you can dynamically move mailboxes between on-prem and on the cloud. And the idea is the cloud is essentially just an extension of your own network, which is really what it should be. So you can do a native mailbox move. And also a key thing as well, people often talk about security with the cloud. So all your data, mail, for example, in the cloud is all secured through BitLocker. Any kind of communication between Exchange Online and Exchange On-Prem is actually protected through the use of Transport Layer Security, EAP TLS. But there are other benefits as well. This is kind of a good kind of comparison. Now, when we talk about, I suppose hybrid isn't the word here, it's kind of coexistence. So if I just install Active Directory Federation Services and DirSync, then I'm going to establish a coexistence between my business and the cloud. And you can see here, what am I going to get with that? So just we have this simple coexistence idea. So with simple coexistence, you can see I can have, for example, a shared global address list in Exchange. Perfect. So you can share contacts and users' information with people both in the cloud and on-premises. But when you start moving into what we call hybrid mode, then you start getting a whole bunch of other benefits as well that go with that. So things like those dynamic mailbox moves, the enhanced security, calendar sharing, all of those kind of cool things that we can see here. So preparing to go hybrid, what's involved? Well, really, it's just about information gathering. And a lot of it determines actually what size the company is. So if I go into, just go into here, I've got a couple of pages that I would go to. First place, if you're any consultants in the room, by the way, show me a few hands. Okay, so we did a security panel. In fact, actually, it was in this room in 2009, and a lot of people said to me, you know, why should I move to the cloud? Oh, I don't want to move to the cloud. Oh, no, I want to keep it all control. I like control. I want to keep it here. So then you start realizing that Microsoft have actually come along a really long way with their cloud experience in terms of security. So much more emphasis on security, and that favorite word that they use all the time is compliance. So if you're selling a solution to your customers or you're implementing a solution, this is the first place. This is the Office 365 website. So, of course, what I want to do in here is I want to go in and say, okay, I can take a, this is obviously for the home and the business. You can see I can go into the business here. And you want to take a look at the business plans. So you want to say, okay, what size of business are they, mid-size, enterprise, and so on. So for the benefit of most people here, I'm kind of focusing on the enterprise plan here, because this is really the one that we've got the full hybrid capabilities. And you can go and you can set up a 30-day trial in here. In fact, I've got so many 30-day trials, I probably think I'm running the Microsoft data center. Okay, I'll come back to that one in a second. Now, there are a number of great third-party tools. This is one, Binary Tree, a list of really cool stuff. What I'm going to do is, you can follow me, by the way, on Twitter, at Andy Malone. That's my Twitter name. And you can, I'm going to post a SkyDrive link. So probably at the end of today, because I'm doing kind of three sessions in a row here, I'm going to put all my stuff on a SkyDrive at the end of the day, and I'll advertise that on my Twitter account later. So planning is everything. So we've got a number of planning tools. The MAP toolkit, the Microsoft Assessment and Planning toolkit, fantastic. You've got the Office 365 migration tools. You've even got testing tools here to make sure that your prerequisites are all met for Office 365, and this is the Remote Connectivity Analyzer. The Ignite website is fantastic, by the way. So if you're looking to get on board with the new technologies, there are also a series of live events that have been going on through the country as well. But I will post those and a whole bunch of other links and things later on, okay? So what are the hybrid requirements? Well, first of all, your Active Directory must be running a minimum of 2003 Forest Functional Mode. You need to purchase a digital certificate, a digital SSL certificate, and depending on the size of your company, you need to think about, okay, if I said to you, what's a wildcard certificate, anybody? Why would I use a wildcard certificate? Shout it out. Possibly, yes, internal, external domains, subdomains, yes. So if you want to have, if you're a fairly large organization and you want to use subdomains, this is quite useful, okay? And we'll talk about domains in a moment. So live DNS, you need to have that live DNS name, external SSL certificates. All users must have a valid UPN, a user principal name, AKA email type address, SMTP type address. Okay, so you must have that. The reason for that is because in the case of ADFS, Active Directory Federation Services, that's the key hook that it hooks into to communicate with Office 365. DirSync. So DirSync, the directory synchronization tool, there's two versions currently available on the market. There's DirSync, these are all free, by the way. DirSync 2 is downloadable now, and also when you install it, you can actually click on a little checkbox which says write-back mode. So that's the key thing for hybrid mode as well. So DirSync is a very, very simple tool. It goes, it gets, it goes, it gets. That's all it does. It just goes and it pre-populates Office 365 with your users from Active Directory. But it doesn't send anything back unless you click that little checkbox. And again, there's a little demo coming up in a moment. You need to install Active Directory Federation Services. Now, this is not something that should be taken lightly. This is potentially quite a complex little tool. And you would never, in my opinion, just install one single ADFS server because that potentially is a single point of failure. So when you deploy ADFS, it's a little bit like IIS. You would typically deploy at least two for, in kind of clustering. So if one fell over, at least you're not going to lose everything. Because if ADFS goes down, then you're in trouble. Now, the other issue with that as well is, would I honestly expose an ADFS server to the internet? Probably not. So again, you might want to deploy what we call an ADFS proxy. So if you use a product like UAG or TMG, that has that component built into it as well. And you can see that at the bottom of the page there, you also need to install the Microsoft Online Sign-in Assistant. PowerShell needs to be in there as well. But the key thing to know here is the main difference between hybrid and other migration features in Office 365 is that you are really making a commitment for a long-term coexistence here. So that's the first thing. You are making that commitment for a long-term coexistence. You've got to remember that. So the hybrid process itself, so stage one, sign up for Office 365, register your domain name, and it has to be validated as well. So when you register that, either in Office 365, you will get a little validation number. It's like kind of MS equals MS, and then you get this unique verification number. So that has to be verified in Office 365. So if you get the small business version, it's all very nice through a wizard. If you use the enterprise version, then PowerShell is your friend, I'm afraid. So you need to really get your act together with PowerShell. Deploy Office 365 DirSync, and also you, for hybrid mode as well, you also need to deploy a minimum of a CAS server. So irrespective of what the customer has got on-prem, so of course I'm in hybrid mode, I'm just talking about Exchange here. So in hybrid mode, you really need to, it doesn't matter whether the customer's got an Exchange 2003, 2007, 2010, any of those, perfect. So what you need to do is you need to deploy what we call a client access server role. That needs to be running a minimum of Service Pack 3 now for this latest release of 2013 as well. Then, of course, you can run the hybrid wizard. Good luck with that, by the way. Okay. Okay. I always, a couple of years ago, I was, you know, when we were teaching this course, I got an email from Microsoft saying, hey, we're running the hybrid wizard. I went, okay, let me try that. Okay, it failed. Believe me, PowerShell is your friend, okay? Learn PowerShell. You know, it might be a painful experience, but actually the nice thing about Office 365 and Windows Azure PowerShell is that the commands are really common sense and they just stick right out. So very, very easy to learn. Okay. I'm not a fan of wizards, I'm sorry. Unless it's Harry Potter. So planning for hybrid. So what's involved with planning for hybrid? Okay. So what are my identity options? So small business, you can go, obviously you need to decide on the identity. So if you're a small business, you've got to say, okay, do you need single sign-on? If you don't, that's fine. This guy can just log in through the portal. Okay? However, in the more complex world, of course, you want single sign-on. You want to use the same credentials. You want to authenticate users on-premises. So in that case, this is where we start getting into ADFS and directory synchronization. So those two tools basically get your user accounts from over here on your Active Directory, and it basically populates them in Windows Azure Active Directory. And that's another thing, by the way. Windows Azure Active Directory is the, you need to basically populate that. So you can either populate that manually, good luck with that, or you can use an automated tool like this. Okay, so what am I, in terms of identity, architecture, integration options, you can have none. So there's no integration, small business, perfect. You just log in through the portal. The next thing is, okay, I need to get my user accounts from Active Directory into the cloud. So how do I do that? Well, essentially you need to install DirSync. Now DirSync, directory synchronization tool, is just a very, very simple piece of tool. You just install it on a member server in a domain, not a domain controller, by the way. And essentially all it does is it makes the connection to Active Directory and it basically pulls the accounts into Office 365. And that's all it does. It goes, it gets. It goes, it gets. That's all it does. You still need to obviously license those user accounts in Office 365. So DirSync. Okay, so get those user accounts into Office 365. The third option, and the big boona, if you will, is obviously Active Directory Federation Services. So here, this is where you basically have Active Directory Federation Services, which is essentially acting as what we call a man in the middle, but it's a nice man in the middle. So this is a guy, basically, I'm going to basically represent, stand in the middle between these two organizations, and essentially it uses a secure token passing service. So these tokens are essentially written in what we call SAML format, Secure Accounts Markup Language. Now there are other types of tools that you could use as well. So if you're using third-party tools, there are other types which we'll talk about, other protocols rather. But this is kind of the one we're looking at here. So this SAML token, basically, you have an outgoing SAML token, which basically says Bob Smith here is a member of your domain, and yes, I'm going to give him the rights to log on to Office 365. So the when Bob tries to log in, it looks at his token, it goes, yep, okay, this looks okay. It passes the token to Office 365. 365 says, yep, you look like a valid user. Here's an acceptance token, and then Bob can get a connection. So, and you can see it's all about establishing this trust relationship. Now, I had a guy in class the other week, and he said to me, Andy, does this mean that I'm actually exposing my Active Directory to Microsoft Office? To Microsoft? Of course not. Essentially, what you're doing, it's like a number of attributes. So you're basically it's like a fishing line. You're hooking in to Windows Azure Active Directory. So you're not basically, you know, it's not replicating your entire Active Directory to Microsoft. So on the subject of Windows Azure, by the way, is the directory service provided. Well, it's one of the services that Microsoft provide. So Active Directory, basically identity in the cloud, is how to get an on-premises environment talking to a cloud-based application. So a cloud-based application, in this case, is Office 365. So we need, basically, the cloud application will typically use different passwords, different usernames, and so on. So what is Azure Active Directory? Is it Active Directory? Well, not really. For some reason, they called it Active Directory. This is my opinion, by the way. Active Directory is actually a kind of a customized version, if you will, of things like Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services, or ADAM, as you may know it previously. It's got a bit of SQL in there. So what's the difference between this version of Active Directory and your version? Well, in your version on-prem, you can have one instance of Active Directory. In Windows Azure Active Directory, there are many instances. So you are all tenants in Active Directory. So every Office 365 customer is a tenant in Active Directory. So basically what it does, it extends your Active Directory or components of it into Office 365 or into Windows Azure. Incidentally, what I'm talking about hybrid mode here, by the way, ADFS and DirSync are the same for everything. So it doesn't matter whether we're talking SharePoint, whether we're talking Link, whether we're talking Exchange, the principles are all the same here. So this is kind of the core groundwork, if you will. Okay, think of it like a hook. That's the way I think about it anyway. So, as I mentioned, the nice guy in the middle. Now, if you're running Windows Server 2008, 2008 R2 64-bit, then ADFS, you can install it on your network, which is fine, perfect. You can download ADFS 2.0. If you're running Windows Server 2012, ADFS is running 2.1, so it's a slightly higher version, but they're both pretty much the same. So basically what this does, it provides the SSO, that single sign-on component for you guys. It provides on-premises policy and control. It works with a single Active Directory forest. So Andy, does that mean if I've got a company or a large organization with multiple forests, can I use this tool? Yes, you can. But again, you would do that through the guidance of Microsoft. Okay? They've got very nice people that will help you do that. Again, you must have a third-party SSL certificate, and you also need to establish that relaying party trust between Office or Windows Azure. So, assuming that I've gone ahead and I've actually set up the connection between Office 365 and Windows Azure, what I've done is I've screen-cammed my demos here, just basically to save a little bit of time, actually. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going up to ADFS here, and I'm going to install Active Directory Federation Services. And it says, this is where it says, okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to install a standalone server, or sorry, a server, or do you want to install a Federation proxy? So I said, yeah, I just want to install a Federation server, and off it goes and actually installs that for me. So once we've installed ADFS, we then need to think about that certificate. So of course, the connection is between on-prem and in the cloud. So of course, internally, we also need a digital certificate here. So I'm going into IIS here, and I'm basically going to set up a port 443 with an internal SSL certificate. This will then allow me to configure Active Directory Federation Services. So my screen's not actually showing that there, so I'm actually going to stand down here and actually talk this through. So basically what we can see here is I'm calling it onprem.local here. I'm going to put in just a friendly name for the certificate. And then once I've got that in, I'm going to then click Finish. So once I've actually created that certificate, the next step is to actually install and configure ADFS itself. Okay, so that's my 443 SSL certificate. So when I now install ADFS, they can now talk to each other. Cool. Okay, so now that we've done that, next thing is actually configuring Active Directory Federation Services. So I'm just going to go into ADFS. And here we've got the wizard. So I'm going to say, yep, I want to create. And it's saying, okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to create a single Active Directory Federation server, or do you want to join? So do you want to create an additional service? So in this case, I'm just choosing the first one. And I'm also saying, okay, let's set that certificate up. So I'm configuring that certificate. This next bit can take a little bit of time. So you can see that it works. Perfect. So ADFS is now configured for SSL connectivity. Perfect. Okay. So, now, authenticating into the cloud with single sign-on. This is done in a number of ways. So, first of all, we've got Bob here down on the left. And Bob wants to basically get access to Office 365. So, he knocks on the door of Office 365, and it says, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know you. So, okay, Bob has to go back, and he tries to say, okay, let me log on to your platform then. And the authentication platform says, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know you. So you need to talk to your local ADFS server. So he checks to see if you've been authenticated and if you're, more importantly, authorized. So he says, yeah, that looks good. And he presents him with an outgoing SAML token, which he now takes to the authentication platform at Microsoft. And of course, Windows Azure says, yeah, that looks pretty good, and provides him with an authorized token. So he takes that token, goes back to the application, Microsoft Outlook, and it says, yep, perfect, you're in. So in terms of provisioning Okay, so that's the first part, the identity. So with ADFS, you need to get that server in place. The next thing then is provisioning the platform. So you can see here, there are a number of different scenarios for provisioning. And there are a number of different mechanisms that you can use in order to provision your users. Okay. So there are, I'm talking about DirSync here. You may want to create your own piece of software using OAuth or something, some other type of protocol. So what is DirSync? So DirSync does a number of things. It provides and enables coexistence. It facilitates Office 365 accounts from your Active Directory. Basically, it saves you having to type them all in. It provides that unified global address list. So if you've got Office 365, you can basically share an on-premises global address list here. And it also enables coexistence for Exchange. And in hybrid mode, it provides secure mail routing. And also coexistence for Link and SharePoint. And that's important, actually, because once you have coexistence, once you have hybrid mode, it's kind of in for a penny, in for a pound, or in your case, a dollar. Okay, so two options. Simple coexistence is just a one-way sync. So provisions users, distribution lists, security groups, contacts. Now, if you decide, or if the customer says, yeah, you know, I want to migrate to Office 365, I'm not too sure about this hybrid mode, can I kind of come back to it a little bit later on? Absolutely, you can, okay? I can tell you, I've done about 20 to 25 kind of big migrations, and I can't tell you how many times I've gone out to the customer site, and they've started, they said, yeah, we want to migrate to Office 365. And you start migrating, you start, and then they go, this hybrid thing, what's this hybrid thing? I quite fancy that. Can we have a bit of that, please? Or, you know, it's a military customer, and they say, hey, you know, well, we need to keep those mailboxes on-prem. So those can go in the cloud, but we need to keep these on-prem. Can we do that? Yes. Okay, then I put my hybrid tool belt on. Okay. So two-way sync from the cloud and back and forth. So two-way sync, of course, then you're in that kind of full hybrid mode, and you've got the full benefits of hybrid there. Now, once you've installed DirSync, by the way, it gets every 3 hours by default. It gets every 3 hours. Now, can I force that? Of course you can. You can use that PowerShell command there at the top. Andy, can I change the schedule? Yes, you can, and this is how to do it. So there is a file there, and you can go in and you can actually change the you know how often you want it to do. What's the issues with that, by the way? Why should I not set that like once an hour or once every half hour? What's the problems there? No, well, you're quite right. So every 3 hours, it will do the deltas, just the changes. That's right. So obviously, if you do it too often, you're going to generate too much traffic, and it potentially could cause issues. So just to say, though, that you can change the coexistence schedule. Now, I did mention that once you establish ADFS and you establish DirSync, you've got that coexistence already. Those hooks actually are in Windows Azure Active Directory. So what we also have here, once you enable write-back, it also hooks onto these additional attributes in Active Directory. So you can see here, the safe sender hash, things like the MS Exchange archive status. These are additional attributes that it hooks onto there. And again, these particular requirements do need that hybrid server on-prem. By the way, that client access server, the license is actually free. It's a free license that you can get. Okay? Okay, so in terms of installing DirSync, so I'm going to go ahead on this particular machine. So the first thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to go to the portal, and you need to enable DirSync first of all. So once you've enabled it, that's it. It's an irreversible action. You switch it on, and that's it. Okay. The next thing is you need to actually download the DirSync tool from the portal. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. Now, just while this is installing, by the way, just to say that this is the 64-bit version. Although the server can be a member server in the domain, a non-domain controller, the 32-bit version actually expires on the 1st of October this year. So if you've already deployed DirSync, you're going to need to uninstall it and install a fresh copy. So I'm going to go ahead and install it. Now, do you see that error message there? That just means that when you install DirSync, there's a 24-hour wait, an officially a 24-hour wait. However, in most cases, it's not 24 hours. So I just kind of went on a little bit further here. So here I'm putting in my credentials for both sides. So I need to put in my Active Directory credentials and also my Office 365 credentials as well, or my Windows Azure credentials. Okay. Yeah, and there's that, do I want to enable rich coexistence? So that's really important. You can tick that and saying, yes, I do. And off it goes. And everything's looking good. And that's pretty much it. There's nothing really much else to do. Now, something I'm often asked is, Andy, can I filter things out? So, for example, just by default, you can basically say, hey, I want, I only want these OUs, or I only want these particular users. Is it possible to do that? Yes, it is. Okay, I've actually got a white paper, and I'm going to put it up on my SkyDrive, and it will tell you how to do that. The only issue with that, though, is do that very, very carefully. You know, tread very carefully with that one. So, hybrid, one giant leap for IT. We've installed Active Directory Federation services. We've got our digital certificate. You've set up DNS. We've just installed DirSync. Okay. So now what will happen is I can now go into Office 365 and all my user accounts will say synced, okay, or in sync. Now, a couple of issues. If I was syncing an account and my a user on-prem then came to me and said, Andy, I can't get access into the cloud, the obvious thing would be make sure that you've obviously activated their account in Office 365. Make sure that you've licensed the account. And also any discrepancies with names. So things like the UPN name, if you've got that incorrect, when that synchronizes, it will cause an error. And essentially what it will do is it will create an on Microsoft account. So if that's the case and you find that that user's got an on Microsoft account, it's because you've mistyped something. In many cases, the setup here, by the way, many cases, the problem is human error. So you tend to do a typo or something goes wrong in PowerShell and it causes issues. Okay. So migrating to Office 365, there are four paths that you can use. Migrating to Exchange, I meant to say. So the first one there is just a IMAP migration, of course. So the only difference here is you need to pre-populate Office 365 with the mailboxes and the user accounts, and then you basically use a migration tool. Cutover migration is where the customer, it's a small business maybe, small business server, they don't want that actual server to stay on premises. The staged migration uses the same idea. The only difference there is you're bringing them over maybe branch by branch or department by department. And again, DirSync is used there. Hybrid, however, you're looking at that long-term kind of coexistence there. So hybrid migrations, key things that you need to do. First of all, you need to pilot Office 365. Remember, Office 365 is just another tool in your tool belt. So you may find in some situations that Office 365 is not the right product for the customer. That they may need a physical install. OK? Okay? So I've done a number of installs, a number of consultancies, where you're banging your head on the wall trying to get something to work, and you actually realize, look, this is not right for that customer. Okay? So again, make sure that you find out actually what the customer needs and kind of match the product or the service to them. Also, remember it is a service as well, and the service changes sometimes monthly, weekly, or sometimes daily. You find that, you know, there's new features and functionality appearing all the time. So it's very, very important when you move to a service that you need to keep up to date. Large migrations migrate the users. The nice thing about hybrid mode is if you're migrating to the cloud, you can really do it at your own pace. So you can just bring them a few at a time over. You can move those mailboxes over at one at a time. There's a few gotchas, though, in terms of mail attachment sizes, mailbox sizes, and so on. Remember that if you go for the e-plans, you're getting that 25-gig mailbox, but also you're getting that all-important archiving mailbox as well, which is, or the archiving feature, which is great. So hybrid coexistence with Office 365. The customers decided that they want to keep that exchange on-prem. Another thing as well is public folders. So in the latest version of Microsoft Exchange, you all know that public folders have come back. Well, they've kind of come back, but they've not kind of come back, a bit like the new start button. Well, I won't go into that one. they've kind of like come back, but they're not really public folders as you know it. They're basically folders in SharePoint. So it's basically a document library in SharePoint. But the nice thing about hybrid is it's very, very easy to offboard your users. Perfect for things like mergers, acquisitions, you know, reorganizing departments and so on. So nice. So highly configurable, although it's quite complex to kind of configure. Again, definite reasons to go here is definitely the compliance regulatory requirements. So where, you know, the customer is very, very nervous about moving a mailbox to the cloud for compliance issues or for legal reasons, you need to keep a copy on premises. This is a perfect solution for that. Also, the nice thing as well is you have control. So with ADFS and DirSync, you actually have control of the identity. You can change the user's passwords. You can decide whether you want to move the mailboxes. So Microsoft are not in control here. Just a couple of things there. Workloads not supported in Exchange Online. Outlook 2003, of course, because Outlook 2003 no longer supports archiving. So if you've got a client, if the user's still using, you know, Office 2007, fine. Absolutely fine. They don't need to upgrade from that. Of course, they can. They get the software included, but if they don't, then fair enough. Okay, things like address lists, things like limits, permissions, multiple forests, these workloads are not currently supported. Things like document permissions or users' permissions, things like send to and send as permissions, you might need to reset those up again. The question was there, what did I mean by permissions? It was things like send to, send as permissions from Exchange. You just need to reconfigure those again. So the end user experience is quite pleasurable, actually, assuming that, of course, you've set that auto-discover record up. That's really, really important. All they need to do is you need to distribute the credentials, the new password. Of course, make sure that the Outlook profile is updated, and also the OST file will need to be redone there as well. And most importantly, remember to activate the user account, license the user. Okay, so where do you start? On-premises, okay, you need to upgrade. You don't have to. Do I want to upgrade from a previous version of Exchange? You don't have to, but you do need that client access server. So it's very much the schema that needs to be upgraded to the latest version, okay? So once you've upgraded the schema, you then think about how you're going to deploy it. So again, there's the hybrid wizard now in Exchange 2013 and also 2010. And the hybrid wizard is actually pretty good, the hybrid deployment tool. So you can actually say, hey, I want to deploy on-prem, I want to deploy just in the cloud, or I actually want a combination of both. Excuse me. This is a really nice tool, by the way. This is the Exchange Deployment Assistant. It's really, really nice. It will just walk you through. You basically just go on site to the customer, run this, and you ask the questions, you know, what do you want, what have you got, and it produces this really nice plan for the actual customer as well. This is the other one as well. This is the Exchange server setup here. You can basically go in, and it will do a nice analysis for the customer. It will do a hybrid deployment check as well. So it will basically say, hey, you know, can we go into hybrid mode? The other way to do the same thing is, as I mentioned, this is a really nice tool. This is the Remote Connectivity Analyzer. So again, you can go into Office 365 here, and you can basically say, I want to do a number of tests on our environment. And this will actually let you know where you stand. Very, very useful tool. Okay, so the migration tool itself is launched from the Exchange Admin Center in Office 365. So again, just a nice little wizard-based process. But you know of my love and wizards. These are the PowerShell equivalents. Hold on to these babies. They will save your life, okay? So again, these are great tools here. So you can do, for example, I want to move a mailbox. You can do a new move request. You can say get move request. You can show the statistics of the move, how many mailboxes have moved, and so on. The next thing that you need to set up, of course, is the hybrid wizard will actually go through this for you. You will need to configure the Microsoft Federation Gateway. Again, this is an identity service that Exchange talks to, and this basically runs over the internet. Again, you need to have SSL certificates in place, and you also need to prove to Microsoft that you actually own the domain that you're setting up here. So essentially what this does, it establishes a trust relationship between multiple partners. And it's this that creates the organizational relationship. So again, the hybrid wizard kind of goes through all of this. So once you're in hybrid mode, obviously you get a number of benefits here. So things like secure email, and most importantly, I think, is the mail flow, the fact that you can relax knowing that any mail that flows between on-prem and in the cloud is well secure. So each organization treats the other one as an internal one. So in your Exchange Management Console, you would see on-prem and in the cloud, and it's just one organization as far as you're concerned. Considerations, single AD forest and domain, perfect. Now, there is kind of a limit at the moment to about 20,000 objects. So we're talking about 20,000 domain objects here. So the key thing there is, okay, Andy, I've got way more than that. No problem. Just let Microsoft know and they will increase that quota for you. Every user account must have a UPN. You know, you may come to the scenario where you've got a customer that's got a .local domain name, which was quite common a few years ago, you'll remember. So what you need to do is register a domain name, go into Active Directory Domains and Trusts, and add in an additional UPN domain name there for the valid domain. Okay. High availability, ADFS, definitely do high availability. At this point, you can't do high availability with DirSync. It's just an appliance. So you don't really have multiple DirSync servers. It's just an appliance. I'm often asked, Andy, obviously DirSync synchronizes user accounts, groups, and things like that, contacts. What about passwords? There is a new version of DirSync out any day now. In fact, they're probably showing it this week at TechEd. I've not got my hands on it yet, that will actually sync passwords as well. That's going to be really nice, okay? Okay, so for best experience, 2010, 2013, for the best experience, mobile devices, again, it supports most of the mobile devices here. We've spoke about these issues already. Okay, you need to set that DNS record up, the auto-discover record up, first of all, as well. Things to consider, you must have certificates. In my experience with Office 365 and also Windows Azure, the key pitfalls are those certificates. So you need to have the SSL certificate and also DNS verified. So these are the two Achilles heels if things go wrong. Okay. Yes. So coexistence domain. So obviously there's two types of domains. There's a coexistence domain and there's also a federated domain that you can have. So a federated domain is a full two-way domain, whereas a coexistence, you're not in full hybrid. You're just maybe only sharing things like the global address list and things like that. This is a nice slide, actually. It just kind of walks through those points that I've just mentioned. So those kind of step-by-steps, that kind of six-based process there. So once you've got the certificates, DNS, install ADFS, and DirSync, and you're pretty much good to go and run that hybrid configuration wizard. Okay, so going hybrid. This is the new hybrid configuration wizard here. So again, we need to add, first of all, that organizational relationship in here. So we just go in and we run that. It establishes that organizational relationship. So once that's in, you can get the elements in Active Directory, those are extra components, and now we can actually go in and actually manage it. So this is where we can actually run the Exchange Hybrid. So, okay, so what do you want to call it? So I'm just calling it Exchange Online, and then I'm going to actually run the configuration wizard. So what this does, again, it basically, you essentially just go in and fill in the fields here. Again, you need to make sure that your domain has been validated and that your SSL certificates are in place. The Active Directory Federation service is in place. Again, put in your credentials. It needs to know about the client access server. Okay. The mail flow settings, so how you want your settings to flow, this is where you add in your SSL certificate. So doing this previously, you would have had probably about 40 steps in PowerShell. Now through this wizard, it's essentially, as you saw there, just pretty much 10 clicks, okay? So at the end of this, you can see these are the reports that you get. You can go into the reports. And this is really useful because again, because PowerShell is the very base of the things here. So if there are issues here, you can actually go in and drill down into this and you can see if there's any problems and use PowerShell to actually fix it. So life in a hybrid world, what's it basically like? So if I go into Office 365 here, and if I go into my users and groups, you can see that I have now a number of users, and you can see that all my users are now actually synchronized. I've got a user here called Holly. So again, what I'm going to do is if I go into my Exchange, and you can see that in Exchange here, I've got a number of mailboxes. And this is showing me here that Holly's mailbox, I've actually just... Prior to this, I've actually just moved her mailbox. So in Microsoft, in the Exchange Management Console here in Exchange 2010, you can see that at the top there, I've got my on-prem environment, and underneath, I've got my in-cloud on Microsoft environment here. So I can now literally take a mailbox, right-click on it, and choose, hey, I want to create a new mailbox move request. Okay, so this is completely full hybrid now. And that's basically the steps involved. Looks good. Okay, now. Now we come to the gotchas. Okay, there's always gotchas. Plan and prepare. I cannot emphasize the importance of this. So if you're not prepared, and you know, you go on site and the customer says, hey, how long is this going to take? And you go, oh, it's just take a couple of days. Don't fool yourself. This is a big job. Depending on the numbers that we're talking about, this can obviously take weeks or months. Now, one of the nice things about the latest version of Office 365 is you can have up to 100 users up and running very, very quickly here. So plan and prepare is really important. Clean house, again. If you're going to use Active Directory Federation services and DirSync to bring these user accounts across, don't bring any crap across. So can I use that? That's a technical word, right? So you kind of want a clean house. Get rid of any kind of stale domain accounts, any stale mailboxes. Also, remember the mailbox limits as well. So mail coming into Office 365, attachments must be no more than 35 megabytes. Attachments going out must be no more than 25 megabytes. So just be aware of that. So if you've got users that have got incredibly large mailboxes, these are going to need to be cleaned up. And also, you find that when you're actually through the pace of migrating, when those very large mailboxes hit the Microsoft data centers, the actual traffic is throttled. So even though you may only have 50 mailboxes to move, if they're very large mailboxes, it can take a few days because that traffic is throttled. Another one I would say is watch out for attachments. Yep, just said that. So inbound 35 megabyte. Ensure DNS records are correct. Absolutely critical, okay? So if you get DNS wrong, it's an absolute nightmare. Now, if you're a small business, of course, Microsoft actually say we prefer to actually manage your DNS records for you. But if you're not, if you're a large business, the chances are you're going to manage them yourselves. Again, Microsoft worked with a number of large vendors, GoDaddy and so on, to make this a fairly simple process. Okay, auto discover is really important. Now, patched. I turned up to a customer recently, and I said, "Have you patched everything? Is everything up to date?" "Yes, absolutely great." So we started going through the hybrid wizard, and everything crashed. It just would not work, wouldn't work. Nothing would come across. The PowerShell commands were really icky and horrible, and the reason was Exchange wasn't up to date. So make sure that you patch, make sure that you've got the latest service packs, the latest updates for Exchange especially, and you'll find that the hybrid experience goes a lot smoother. Deploy ADFS and DirSync. Remember that this is quite a big step, so are you sure that this is what the customer actually wants? Minimum Exchange 2010 SP3, that CAS server, irrespective of what the customer's got. So I find through talking with a lot of customers that they're saying, if we move to this, we've got to spend an absolute fortune. We've got this infrastructure in place. No, you don't. You can leave it. Exchange 2003, perfect, leave it. Okay? Just get that client access server in place. This is definitely a good one. Never let your certificates expire. If you let certificates expire, it can be a nightmare, okay? So this is something you're going to need to set a calendar warning or something. How many of you support businesses? So any consultants that support businesses here? Okay, some of you, yeah, okay. So very important, never let certificates expire. Domain deletion issue. Okay. Now, I mentioned that Windows Azure Active Directory, essentially everybody's a tenant in Windows Azure Active Directory. So a good tip is if the customer wants to try Office 365 or Windows Azure and you register a domain name for it, and then maybe a couple of months down the line they say, hey, we don't want this anymore, never just walk away from it. Okay, because if you do, that domain name can never be used again in Windows Azure because it kind of sticks there. So what you need to do is you need to go into Office 365 or Windows Azure, actually remove the domain, which is really, really easy to do, and then let it expire. That's fine. And then if they want to come back in a year or whatever, that's absolutely fine. And drink lots of Red Bull and coffee. You guys get Red Bull here. Do you do that? Yeah? That's great stuff. That'll really wake you up. Okay, cool. I put in a list of tools here for going hybrid. So the deployment readiness tool, absolutely brilliant, by the way. There's also the get-exchange environmental report, a brilliant PowerShell command. There's also the Office 365 speed test. And you might think, that's ridiculous. Why would I use that? But if you're at the back of beyond, you know, speed can definitely be an issue, especially if you want to go into hybrid mode. There's also a whole bunch of kind of third-party tools as well, Metalogix. Some of them are actually here at TechEd, so, you know, go down and have a chat with them. And again, you know, make sure that you read the white papers. I don't know if the Ignite course is still running in the US here, but if you get a chance to go on that, definitely do that. That was really good. Okay. Okay, so quite a lot. Do we have any questions? I love questions. Let's have some. Hi.
So you seem to imply that the federated services are the preferred way of doing things, mm-hmm. but for me it seems like it's adding more complexity. And for our small 80-person organization, it seems like DirSync with password synchronization might be the better approach.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hybrid is not for everybody. Yes? So a small, the gentleman says here that he's a small 80-person company. Do you need to have an Exchange server on-prem?
Yes, because we're going to do a piecewise migration to Office 365.
Okay, so that's a staged migration. So you can still have kind of minimal coexistence. You don't need to have the full hybrid for that. So at the end of the day, you don't physically need that Exchange server, right? So that is a staged migration, and absolutely, it's much more simple for you. Okay? Any other questions? What's the meaning of life? Yeah, go for it. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. It used to be Forefront Online Protection for Exchange, FOPI. Now it's just Exchange Online Protection, and it's all in the same interface. Okay? The reason I set up an account, an Office 365 to demo, but I can't get back into it. There's something wrong with the account I was going to demo. That's why I'm not demoing it. But yes, it's called Exchange Online Protection. Now, depending on the plan that you're going to go with. So are you talking small business or are you talking... Okay, so basically a small business, depending on the plan that you go for, it's all done kind of internally, okay? So if I had Microsoft Outlook on a standalone machine with pop email, yes, I would go in and do my junk email filter, and it would filter out junk here. So when you do that in Office 365, it actually sends those rules to Exchange Online Protection. Now, if you've got an enterprise plan, so let's say an E3 plan with Office 365, you've got full access to that, and you can actually configure all the filters, and you can set whitelists and blacklists and things like that. Yes, sorry. It's actually very, very good. It's as good as anything that's on the market, yes. Yeah. That's something that Microsoft is... I mean, I'm a security guy, and it is actually as good as... it's like the free one. What's that free tool? You know, the home user tool. Essentials, yeah? I mean, that's got an incredible amount of respect in the industry. That's done really, really well. And it's as good as anything else. I mean, I normally have a rule. If it comes in a yellow box, don't touch it. So I'm glad to say that none of these things do. Yeah, that took a moment for that to ripple through the audience, yeah? Anything else? No, you still have an MX record. Yeah. Your auto discover points to 365, but your MX record is still your MX record. You still need to do a. I mean, that's your, you know, your live DNS. What I've actually got is I've got some screenshots, and I've got like a walkthrough, and I'm going to put, and I've got all these videos as well. So in the videos, in the presentations, you guys won't get these, but what I'll do then, I'll stick them all on my SkyDrive. So I've got three sessions today right now. So I'm going to be running in a minute, okay? So at Andy Malone is my Twitter account. I will broadcast my SkyDrive probably later this evening, and feel free to go in and grab the stuff, okay? The other things that I've got here, obviously related content. I'm just about to go to a journey to the dark side, by the way. Social networking, and I'm also doing two security things. The Inside Man, that's along there in the ballroom there. Tomorrow I'm doing 1984 21st Century Security Surveillance versus the Erosion of Freedom, which is a great title for a presentation, don't you think? So hopefully you guys can make it. Now, this evening, unfortunately to Tom, he was trying to get me to come along to do the Ask the Experts. I am already doing an ATE table today. It's the cybersecurity one. It's the yellow. So if you want to ask any questions about cloud or hybrid or anything, please feel free to come along, and I'll be more than happy to chat with you. And I do apologize for running away now, all right? But thank you very much. I really appreciate it, and thanks. Okay. Just a quick mention, by the way. I'll bring up the you can obviously win goodies. If you fill in the evaluation. If you've loved the session, my name's Andy Malone. If you haven't, it's Thomas Lee. Okay? Thanks very much.
A quick question.
Cheers.